Will they, won't they, will they, won't they? Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi have become the Sam and Diane of modern American politics. And if that is just the most disgusting image I've ever planted in your head, well, I've been at this for a long time, and I'm getting really good at it. Hey, everybody, I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and Scott Ott, and this is your right angle from an undisclosed location on the meaning, believe it or not, of the State of the Union, and what it does mean when the speaker can uninvite the president and reinvite the president. Or what step are we on now? Is the State of the Union on now? Are we back on?
I have not heard the latest breaking news on that.
I believe it's on for next Tuesday, but who knows what could happen between now and then because of Sam and Diane and their on again, off again anti-romance. But this does lead to some interesting questions about the State of the Union. Now, I believe, if I have my history correct, that the first seven or eight State of the Unions were delivered in person at Congress by the president, whether it was Washington or Adams. And it was Thomas Jefferson, again, if I recall correctly, who didn't really like to public speak, didn't have a very nice voice, and so he had somebody hand-deliver a written statement on the State of the Union to Congress, and it stayed that way for about 100 years or so, up until the man who ruined everything, Woodrow Wilson, the guy who liked the sound of his own voice so much he imposed it on everybody, including Congress. Scott, we have, and I'm not picking on Donald Trump here. I'm not one of these, ooh, he's Hitler, Mussolini, whatever. But there is something to this imperial presidency that we've allowed to evolve since Woodrow Wilson, where the president can command all of this attention. And is that proper and right in what's supposed to be a small R Republican form of government?
Yeah, again, regardless of the sitting president, so this has nothing to do with the current incumbent.
No, nothing at all.
What I actually don't like the whole spectacle of the State of the Union address for a variety of reasons. Number one, I like the separation of powers. I like the fact that that the House of Representatives, the people's house, so to speak, can essentially flip off the president of the United States, and yes. And or at least has to gain the cooperation of the Senate in order to flip off the president of the United States. I don't like the fact that we call together all the leaders of the nation as if they're a bunch of petty potentates that we should bow down to. I don't like the periodic punctuation of applause, the continual, the speech is more applause than it is words.
Applause lines.
The
too,
whole
yeah.
thing is just so phony. And then it's become worse in recent years as various individuals and caucuses of individuals have decided to treat it as an opportunity to, to push their agendas by dressing a certain way or sitting on their hands or, not smiling, which is easy if you're a Democrat, harder if you're a Republican. And so I really just think the whole thing has grown out of control and frankly is not, no longer grants, let's talk about President Trump for a second, it doesn't give him home field advantage anymore. I really don't think he gains anything by standing up in front of Congress and having them all make faces at him. And as Bill pointed out in our backstage episode, I love the idea of him saying, "Yeah, I'm gonna send my written version of the State of the Union address, which is really just a report on what the president sees as the conditions of things as they are, and recommendations that he could make constitutionally anyway about how we could improve things in the country, and just mail that over to the Congress, and then have a big campaign rally and call it his State of the Union address and deliver it in front of a 100,000 screaming people in an arena." I think that makes a lot more sense from a public relations point of view, but from a constitutional point of view, I'd rather just be rid of the whole spectacle and tell the president to stay in his house and tell Congress to stay in their house.
Yeah, Scott.
Let's build a wall between the two, by the way. I think that would be an excellent idea.
A wall of separation.
And make the Supreme Court pay for it.
And don't forget to build a wall between the church and the state either while you're at it.
That's right.
Lovely. All right. Hey, listen, Bill, Scott was mentioning these various caucuses, cauci, whatever the plural is of caucus. And it occurred to me that the Madison word would be faction. And it occurs to me that one of these factions that really determines what goes on to the State of the Union is actually the media. It's not anybody elected. It's not a cabinet officer. It's not the people themselves as determined by the polls or whatever. But it is this overly fawning or overly critical or these days overly partisan media, and would it make sense, again, regardless of who the president is, to choose a State of the Union address, if they want to do one in public at all, that is, as Scott says, better to their home field advantage? Avoid the press as much as possible.
Well, one of my my members-only episode this week is on the idea that we are in post-government America, that this isn't government anymore. It's just a series of kabuki moves carefully orchestrated to rile the enemy and generate applause for your team, and we're talking about the same nation. So I know I'm at the point, I know most people are at the point where they've had enough of this. It's just not functioning. It's not a government anymore. And in the members-only episode, we'll talk about maybe the ramifications of that. Lincoln wrote some amazing words in some of his State of the Union speeches. They were delivered by his secretary. They were read aloud into the congressional record by his secretary. He didn't appear. There is something I think that I admired about the sort of the majesty of it. There's something to be said for the grandeur of having the packed Congress with the president there, yeah, surrounded by, you know, the ceremonial accoutrements of office. But as Scott pointed out, you know, that's not really what it's designed to be, and I tend to lean towards him that way. To say that the only thing I can maintain enthusiasm for having the State of the Union as it was is to realize that virtually every single member of the government is in one place, and we have not located every single near-Earth asteroid yet. So while the odds may be thin, the hopes could be high. Let's just reboot this thing. It's getting a little embarrassing. When Donald Trump basically called Nancy Pelosi out on a travel during the government shutdown, I thought that was a good move politically. And this kind of thing is just escalating now to the point where, okay, maybe this is actually for the best. If it turns out that all of these trappings of government, all of the things that seem like government, and the State of the Union is a perfect example of this, as people who have some respect for the Constitution know, there's no requirement for the president to stand in front of Congress and give a speech. As Scott pointed out, he is required constitutionally once a year to make a series of recommendations and discussions and statements about where the union is, but that, for most of the country's history, was, or at least for half of it, was literally phoned in. It was figuratively phoned in. It was literally written in, and that works for me too. So maybe the politicization of everything, and not when I say politicization of it, I mean I mean politics as no longer as things that actually happen to get things done, but politics as a series of press conferences and as a form of theater. If it turns out that this has gone so far now that the system is falling apart under the weight of its own silliness, that's a net gain for everybody, I suppose. And the thing I'm kind of that I couldn't really get at until just this second is, it wouldn't hurt the American people to realize that the country will run without a State of the Union speech in the Congress, you know, with everybody surrounded. In the same way that it doesn't hurt the American people to realize that you could shut down the government for 3 weeks and not have everything grind to a halt. I would like to add what I added on a different episode. When I say that when I talk about the government, I'm talking about the government as a thing. There are some very, very fine people who work in government, and they certainly deserve their back pay and all the rest of it. But the government as an entity, I think it's to the detriment of mostly detriment of Nancy Pelosi to cancel this thing, because this is her house that she's showing off, and she gets to have half of them sitting on their hands, or more than half, when Donald Trump is speaking. So for her to cancel this, I think is just kind of just poor strategy on her part. I do like the idea of Donald Trump going to the Orange Bowl or whatever else is still standing, and just you know, have 100,000 fans in there and just roar the top of the roof off. If you're going to turn this thing into, if you're going to make everything political, then you might as well make everything political. I personally would like to see all of it go back to its. One of my favorite expressions that I have ever coined is that I am not against the government. I'm not against the idea of the government. I just want a government that'll fit in the box it originally came in. And that's what I want.
Steve, you know, Bill just brought up a good point.
Yeah.
Like during that State of the Union address, you see the vice president and the speaker of the House in the background during the entire thing. And so Nancy Pelosi is going to lose out on like an hour of frozen FaceTime.
I would just like
maybe they'll have a stuffed. When we did the Star Trek Afterburner, I used because it was a Star Trek parody, and at the end of Star Trek, the final frame on the original TV show was always that alien that was just it was just plaster. Staring like that, and I photoshopped Pelosi's face onto that, but. I think the danger, as Scott pointed out, is that when you compare her to a plaster cast that doesn't move for an hour, you're in serious danger of the plaster cast appearing lifelike, and that's something I suppose you should be careful of.
I would love to see Alexandria Octavia Cortez do the rebuttal. Wouldn't that be fun? That would be a lot of fun. Listen, folks, I can wrap this up so very, very, very quickly. Sort of a synthesis of the old way of doing things, but in more of the spirit of our times, that to kind of match the atmosphere in Washington. And so my modest proposal is this. We go back to the State of the Union address being delivered by hand to the Speaker of the House, directly to her doorstep, in a paper bag, set on fire, filled with dog poop. Think about it. And that's a Right Angle on That, brought to you by the members of BillWhittle.com. If you like what you see, please click on over, become a member. We would love to have you on board as one of our citizen producers. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.